Take control, take responsibility for your own happiness, and that, just that act, will make you happier.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe and Alicia talk about the choice to be happy. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. My name is Joe Altieri. I am here with the always humorous, always giving me a hard time, the love of my life, Alicia Altieri. How are you today, dear?
Good. Planning to up my game then. I guess,
that's fantastic. You're going to give me a harder time. That's awesome.
That's my goal.
So the Dare to Be Different podcast is all about living an extraordinary life. I am so excited to talk about that today. We use five values to talk about an extraordinary life. You want to give them off, rattle them off real quick?
Sure. It's honest, passionate, adventurous, grateful, and healthy.
And I am honest when I say that I am so glad you're here today.
I thought you were going to say something about being healthy.
Yes, I am honest that I did not eat healthy yesterday. So
okay.
Anyway, so today I want to talk about being in control of our own happiness.
That's a big one.
It is a big topic, but the reason I want to talk about it, well, first of all, we had some people over the last couple weeks, and, you know, two different groups of people. One of them that are kind of go-getters, you know what I mean, have take control of their lives, you know, that kind of thing. And then there was another group that, we hung out with for a night that kind of has a victim mentality, you know, where it's this happened to me, this is going on, you know, I can't do anything because of, you know, that type of those two different groups. And the parity between them, and even the conversations that we've had with them, was strikingly different, you know, the people that have those two different attitudes.
It is.
But you know, the most striking thing to me, though, was the happiness level of those two groups. Like the one group was, you know, I don't know how else to say it other than they're happy. They're happy people. They're a happy family. The other group was, you know, again, that felt like things happened to them all the time. They were unhappy, lots of drama, et cetera, et cetera. And, I don't know. It just kind of led me into thinking about this, the fact that, you know, we control our happiness. I mean, we really, really do. I read a study. This is really interesting. I read a study and it said that people, increase their happiness up until they're 18. So during your childhood, you become happier and happier and happier. And then at 18, it like nosedives where you become unhappy up until you're 47, 18 to 47, you become more and more unhappier. And then at 47, the trend starts back up to where you're at peak happiness for your life at 60 plus. So it's like at 18, you're happy. And then once you hit 60, you're happy. And that's like the best that you have. Like you have these like 18 years leading up to there. And then you have whatever 60 until you die. Man, that just seems like an awful lot of wasted time in between there, don't you think?
It does, but the good news for us is we're on the tail end, so so we're almost at 47. So you know, ours should be starting to increase, and we've just got this news now. So now, in retrospect, we can just start working on being happier a couple years earlier, I guess. I don't know.
Well, see, I feel that we're kind of like overachievers. So I want to feel that like at 45, we're on the way back up. Like we're skipping a couple years.
Yeah, but that is that's sad statistics, I guess.
It's sad.
Just terrible. Like, oh, for the first 18 years, you know, I don't know. And then I wonder if it's like correlated. I'm sure a lot to do with like, hey, at 18, that's when responsibility
exactly
hits and you start having to like be responsible yourself, start to worry about finances more because your parents aren't buying your groceries or whatever, you know, like you're out on your own, you're trying to make career choices. And then, you know, are you stuck in a job that stinks, you know, that you hate? I'm sure a lot of that, you know, and just the heaviness of life's responsibility sets in at that point. Hopefully by 47, you figure out some of those things. But, you know, I'm sure those are a lot of the factors that lead into it. It's like, that's like adulting years.
Yes, it is. It's the adulting years. But the other thing that this study said that one of the contributing factors, one of the main contributing factors to people's unhappiness is their perceived lack of control over their life.
Sad again.
It is. So you know, you I guess as a kid, you know, control isn't necessarily something that you really think about. Maybe as a teenager, but you still feel like you have control, some control over your life. You know, again, for the modern teenagers, you know, who do I follow on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, who my friends are, blah, blah, you know, all that stuff. And then at 18, again, this is just the human condition. It feels like that control goes away for a long time until you hit your 40s. And I think at 45, 47, you know, as we're kind of coming into that age where you start realizing that, you know, control is, you know, the outside influences that we feel control us don't actually control us. Like you start hitting a level of maturity where you go, you know what? I don't necessarily care what that person thinks about me.
Yeah. And I think that is a lot of the, issue is caring too much what, you know, well, what would someone think if I made a career change or if I, you know, stopped doing this one thing and started doing something totally different because that's where I feel my passion really is or whatever it is. You know, family leading, you know, families, excuse me, family's opinions leading into those, you know, thoughts towards those areas or your friends or whatever it is, the people that you're surrounded by. I think their influences and, you know, can really factor heavily into the changes that you're willing to make in your life. And, you know, that's why we talked about that in the past, like why that's so important that you do surround yourself with people that want the best for you, are happy for you, encourage you to, you know, do what you're passionate about or otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, the other side of it too, is that these things that you think have control, once you hit a maturity level, you understand that you can change those things.
Right.
So my boss is a jerk. He makes me work on Saturday. So therefore I'm unhappy. Well, you have control over whether or not you work for that guy. If you work for that company, there might be consequences. You might not be able to make more that much money somewhere else. But if you think that working Saturdays is making you unhappy, you have control over that situation. Whether or not you choose to exercise that control is completely up to you. So I think that once you hit that age, you start understanding and start to prioritize things a little bit differently, and then you can start that. I think naturally, humans that don't listen to this podcast and don't have this that are not getting this lesson now, because I feel that if somebody's listening to this and takes some steps that we're going to talk about at 19 years old, they can stop that free fall of unhappiness right now. You know, and it doesn't matter if you're 18, 19, 30, 40, whatever the case may be, you can choose to be happy today. And not let things happen to you that make you that you have this perception that make you unhappy. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, you know, one of the things that I think the world and I'm just it's just as much to blame this as anyone else is that, you know, they never take the first step to actually define what happiness is. You know, what is happiness to Alicia? What is happiness to Joe? What is happiness to Brady, who's in the studio making sure that we look pretty for the videos? You know, what does that mean? So, you know, if you can't define what makes you happy, then you'll always be confused about what it takes to achieve it. Does that make sense?
It does. I think that there are certain points in people's lives that they get to where it's taking the time to evaluate what does make me happy, what are my hobbies or otherwise, you know, what job do I feel like I want to do that's, you know, I don't know, leads into being happy or feeling like you're doing well at it, setting yourself up for success in that area. You know, just the time to, or the priority, I guess, to put on thinking about things that make you happy or that you actually like to do or want to do.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the main key reasons that people are unhappy is a lack of perceived control over their lives and over their happiness. But people don't take the first step in taking control
to even define what happiness is.
You know, so, you know, for us, you know, one thing that makes us happy as a family is being around our family, right?
Yeah.
That legitimately gives us joy and happiness in our lives.
Yeah.
And that's something that we realized early on. And we have strategically formed our life in that way.
Yes.
Right. So we've, you know, from our family mission statement, you know, which is, you know, to create an environment where our kids want to come back after they don't have to, right?
Yes.
Which is our family mission statement. You know, to, you know, even the purchases that we make and the houses that the house that we live in and where we live and all of those things, because we want to be around our family because we know that that will make us happy. So
right.
I would love to move somewhere warm. We live in Pittsburgh. For those of you that don't know where we live, we live in Pittsburgh, and it is not warm. Although it's been a very nice summer.
It
really has been. But, you know, we're right on the cusp of weather getting miserable, and I hate the snow. I hate the cold and all that stuff.
Well,
I would
love... like a true Pittsburgher. You hate the weather, but you don't actually go anywhere to make that better. You just like to have the ability to complain about the weather.
Yes. So, but here's the thing. Just using that as that's a great example, right? I have the ability to move anywhere that I want to move. I could move the flex screen offices down south. We could do, you know, I could commute, whatever the case may be. However, because we defined the fact that warm weather doesn't necessarily make me happy,
right.
It would just make me, if I'm miserable, it's just going to make me warm and miserable, right?
True.
So, you know, being happy, we've just defined it as being around our family, right? Our children, our grandchildren, that's a way that we have defined our happiness. So therefore, once we know that, we're not going to do anything to upset that portion of our lives that is making us happy. So us moving to Aruba, which I would love to do, is not actually going to make me miserable because I've already taken the time to define an aspect of my life that makes me happy.
Right.
So, you know, I got to play with our grandsons yesterday, you know, just running around our son's yard, jumping on stumps and stuff like that. That was 2 hours of probably the two happiest hours of my week. That was so much fun. It was a blast. If we move somewhere warm, which I would then be warm, right? I would miss out on that happiness.
You would not be able to do that.
Right?
Yeah.
So now I could look at this if I wanted to going, I'm forced to stay here because my wife doesn't want to move, right? I have the victim mentality, right? Because I haven't defined what is actually going
to
make me happy.
Sorry, I'm making you so miserable.
But walk through this with me though, right?
I'm waiting for it to turn around.
So I could say, look, my wife, you know, my wife doesn't want to move because, you know, she's decided to be around the kids, right? Or, man, I have to be here around my kids because, you know what I mean? Whatever the reason is. So now I have the victim mentality saying, I just want to be warm, but I can't because of this thing, right? So now I'm unhappy because I haven't necessarily defined what is going to make me happy. For some reason, I have this in my mind that I'm going, being warm will make me happy. Well, no, it's just going to make
it's
me warm.
Just geography.
Right? You know, living here will make me happy. Well, no, it actually won't. You know, I've defined what happy looks like. So I think a lot of times we don't have that opportunity. We as humans don't take that opportunity to define what happy is. You know, what does that look like for a job? Well, I want to make more money. That's what my job goals are. Well, why? Why do you want to make more money? Well, because, you know, because of this, because I want a bigger house. I want to, you know, show off for this or that. I want to have a nice car and all those things. Well, you go, okay, does that actually make you happy? If that actually makes you happy, driving a new car every once in a while, you know, every 2 years, you know, whatever the case may be, actually will make you happy, then I say go for it. 100% go for it. But if that is making you, you know, just show off, then that actually isn't true happiness. You know, is true happiness being able to travel whenever you want, or not having debt, not having you know, this pressure on me, or, you know, all of those types of things.
Right.
You can start defining what your life looks like based off of being happy. Because at the end of the day, and this is just my opinion, there's two important things in our lives, being happy and healthy. Like, everything else should pretty much fall into those categories. Because it doesn't matter if you're poor, as long as you're happy and healthy. It doesn't matter if, you know, you are, you know, rich, as long as you're happy. You know, you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you have 1,000, you know, 10,000 followers on Instagram, you know, as long as you're happy and healthy. It doesn't really matter. Everything kind of boils down to those two things. So how do we define happiness? So any suggestions on how helping people to, you know, kind of dig into, I mean, happiness for us is, you know, one of the things that we liked being able to do is being able to pick up and go on adventures whenever we want.
Right, right.
Right? So we have to be, we can't have a mountain of debt that is hanging over our heads, or we wouldn't be able to afford to, you know, to have a long weekend and go somewhere or something like that. So,
yeah, I think that there's a lot of, you know, for most adults, there's usually a little bit of, I don't know, things to work through before you can even get to the point of thinking of what actually at this point is going to make you happy. If you have things in your past that you haven't dealt with yet, if there was like issues growing up, or, you know, bad relationships that you haven't healed from, or, you know, things like that that are going on in your life, and your soul seems tormented. You know, we have friends that are like that, that just, you know, haven't dealt with past pains and past hurts
mm-hmm.
either, to even get to the point of thinking what's going to make me happy, because they have so much to deal with and so much hurt and unforgiveness and, you know, other stuff going on in the back of their minds, that to even press through that, to push forward, to get to a place where at this moment, what's going to make me happy, and what do I want out of life? You know, those things sort of need dealt with first, I think, you know, so that's just like going back before you decide right now, what's going to make me happy? Think about what in the past, you know, am I at a place where I can even think about happiness for myself? Because if there's like, I don't know, I feel like if there's hurts and bad relationship things and whatever, that you can't move forward until you heal those things.
Yeah, but get
yourself to a place of healthy and happy inside before you're thinking of what are the things that I can do or the places that I can go that make me happy.
Yeah, and this is not an easy task.
Because
again, happiness might be, the first step to happiness is this thing that happened to me when I was young, you know, I think about it less often, or I don't think about it for a year, or whatever the case may be. Like, that might be a form of happiness. And once you define that, then you know what you can do to start working towards that. Because to your point, there are things that happen in everybody's life. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some that are worse than others.
Right.
That, yeah, you do need to deal with. And it might take talking to someone, you know, going to counseling, you know, and things like that to help heal those things so that you can start going forward.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of talking about just the average, you know, average American person who is, you know, just kind of going through life, but never really taking a look at what they're doing. You know, is this making me fulfilled? Is this, you know, are my relationships good? You know, again, one of the happy things in our life is having a great relationship with each other, you know? And if you say, hey, you know what would make me really, really happy is to have a spouse that I had a great relationship with, right? If that was one of the things that would make you happy, well, now you know what it's going to take to make you happy. And you can start, once you define it, you can start moving towards it. But I think a lot of times we just kind of breeze through life, and you turn around and you're like, you know, then you're 60 and you're like, oh, I guess, you know, life is, I've kind of lived through most of it. Now I'm on retirement. Now I can actually do the things that, you know, make me quote unquote happy, or there's just less things making me unhappy. It's probably the better way of putting
right.
it.
Like, I don't want to be, you know, if 60 or what, or 47, I guess, beyond is whenever you start to,
yeah,
you know,
you're on the upward
swing of
swing.
Happiness,
yep.
Whatever. I mean, we've all run into the miserable, rude old couple at the store trying to even like get their groceries together, right? Oh my gosh. Like, what do you got to do to not be that couple? Like, just bickering and arguing loudly for everyone around you to hear. Like, I don't, like, you see that happen and go like, yeah, I'm not willing to be that person. I'm not going to do that. So what choices do I have to make right now, you know, to not be those people, you know, to not be, oh my gosh, I've seen it so many times. It's actually like, it's like makes you uncomfortable and sweat a little bit when you see them. It's like, I can't, you know, listen to these awful comments that they're making to each other. And it's like, how do you live your final years on earth just cranking at your spouse, you know,
being for miserable.
Like no good, you know, it's all the little things that you hear whenever you're out in public, but it's like that didn't start today, right? Like they didn't start arguing like that today. It wasn't the first time that they've said rotten things to each other. That was, you know, a premise that was started years ago that was just acceptable.
Right.
You know, so how do they turn that around when it's of age to turn that around so that they aren't, you know, so that they do have a good relationship with their spouse? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And, the other thing with defining your happiness, again, whether it's with your spouse or anything else, is that once you've really defined it and really started to internalize it, like what is going to, again, a great relationship with your spouse is a great example. You know, outside influences, once you go, hey, having a great relationship with my spouse is key to my happiness.
Yeah, it's a priority.
It is a priority. It is, I have to protect that. Then the outside influences can't touch you anymore, or at least it's going to make the outside influences more difficult to touch you. So then it's like, oh, okay, well, there's this person at work who wants to flirt with me. Well, no. That's not going to make me happy. Having a great relationship with my spouse is what's going to make me happy. Well, you know, this certain website that is a temptation, you know, if my spouse saw me looking at it, you know, would ruin that relationship or come in, like, okay, that temporary thing is not going to get in the way of this true happiness that I've defined, which is having a great relationship with my spouse. So, or even the, you know, hey, being debt free is one of those things that I want to do that's going to make me happy. Well, guess what? When my house isn't as big as somebody else's house, that outside influence, I'm not going to care. Like I'm, you know what I mean? Like that's not going to make me unhappy because I know what my goals are based off of what makes me happy. So, but anyway, I have some, we're almost out of time here, but I have I know we went through this pretty fast. I have some tips that I picked up from a book called The 4-Hour Workweek. So a guy named Tim Ferriss wrote this and I really, really like this. And I'm glad this worked into today's talk. He makes this suggestion. He says, write this down on a piece of paper. And he said, right at the top of, get a couple sheets of paper and at the top, write down every day. On the top of the next one, write every other day. On the next one, every week. Next one, every quarter. And then every year. He said, then list out the things that you want to do with each of those time periods. Things that will make you happy or make you work towards being happy. That's kind of to go along with what we're talking about. So every day, what are some things that are going to make you happy? And it's like, these are day in and day out things. Like, what are the things that you want to accomplish every single day that is going to make you happy and kind of move you towards being happier faster than I got to 47, now I'm on the upward swing. So whether you're at 18, 25, 35, whatever, what are the things every other day? List them out. Like, hey, here's the things that I can do every single day to make me happier. And what this is doing is it's taking control back, getting out of that victim mentality. It doesn't matter what the political thing's going on. It doesn't matter if it's Trump or Biden. It doesn't matter if people are rioting or people are protesting or anything else. Like, what are the things every single day that you're going to do to take control of your happiness? And then on the other one, what are the things every other day, a couple times a week that you're going to do to make you happier? Then every week, what's the things once a week? Again, just use an example. Once a week, what makes us happy is to have our kids over for dinner all together once a week. That would be one of the things that we would write down every day. On yours, every day you take the dogs for a walk, right? That would be on your list. Every day, it makes you happy. Mm-hmm. You know, taking the dogs out. You know, once a week, having the kids over. Once a quarter, and then every year. So once a quarter, again, just looking at us, just using us as an example, we try to do an adventure once a quarter. So that is a long weekend, going somewhere maybe that we have never gone before, doing something that we've never done before. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be something big. But once a quarter, we try to do something new with us and our youngest two kids. You know, and then every year, what's something that you want to do every year that again helps you take control of your happiness? So, what do you think about that? Pretty good suggestion.
It is a good suggestion. It definitely makes you think pretty deeply about what does actually make you happy, and what are, it's goal oriented too. Like, what are your goals this year? What, you know, what relationships, what do you want to, you know, promote and work on? You know, what adventures do you want to take? You know, what do you want out of life? What are you doing also that pours into your happiness? Like, what makes you happy? You know, just think about it. It does take some work, but I think that if you did do those things, you could turn around a year later and go, well, it's acknowledging the things that would make you happy, which makes you work on them, which may, you know, even if those pieces of paper just are the reminder of, you know, in the back of your mind, you know, I made these lists, I got to work on them. Let's point towards happiness and getting that on the increase and not the decline.
Exactly. And the irony of all of this is that by doing this, you start, if lack of control is one of the main reasons that people are unhappy, simply the act of taking control back over your happiness will actually make you happier. Like, it's you know, it has like both sides of the blade here, which are fantastic. Like, this is a great way to become happy. Take control, take responsibility for your own happiness, and that, just that act, will make you happier. So, right. So anyway, any other last suggestions here as we sign off for another week?
I don't know. Think about what makes you happy and what, you know, you can focus on, and do something today that, you know, would put you in that direction, even if it is, you know, taking your dog for a walk or painting your nails or, you know, nice face mask, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, whatever little thing you can do for yourself to get you thinking about that direction and start somewhere. Whether it's little or big, you know, you don't have to jump on an airplane. Yeah, that's a little difficult right now anyway to get to certain destinations. But, you know, you don't have to get on an airplane or do something huge. It could be the smallest thing to just start somewhere, start now.
Yeah, I mean, it can be as simple as reading every single day.
Yep.
Like, I love to read. I actually, that's one of the things that makes me happy, is reading for a half an hour a day. But if you don't define it, those things go away and you're like, oh, that does make me happy.
Right.
So if you are having trouble with this homework about happiness, because again, this is not easy.
No, it's not.
This is something that is going to take some serious effort. But if you're serious, if you are serious about your happiness, do this, do this, do this, do this, and then reevaluate it in a couple weeks. Talk to your spouse, talk to the people in your life. What are some things that you think make me happy? You know, what are some things that make you happy? Have these awkward, weird conversations.
Yeah.
Why not?
That is a weird conversation.
Who cares, which,
like,
though?
It's like, so dumb that it's weird. You know, like, it's like, why is that such a weird topic? What makes you happy?
I know. It's one of those things, like, as Americans, we are guaranteed the right to pursue our happiness. Like, that's one of the rights that Americans have that no other country in the world has. Like, we have that as a right to pursue our happiness. But none of us, I don't want to say none of us, most Americans, most people in the world don't know what that is.
Right.
Like, we have the right to go after it, but we don't know exactly what that is.
Right.
So find out what that means for you. As we're wrapping up, I just want to remind you that, you know, only you have the power to control your happiness, and don't let external factors penetrate deep into your inner core. You are not a victim. You are in control of your happiness. Take that control and be happy. Until next time, we love you. please, please, please share our podcast, subscribe to it. We hope you guys got something great out of it, and we will see you next week.